verse 51. And I'm using this as a launch pad for where we're going today. Launch pad for where we're going today. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It reads like this. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Let me say it again. Now a certain man, young man, followed him, him is Jesus, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. May the Lord be pleased with the hearing, reading, understanding, living out of his word. You may be seated. I would venture to say that most of us have never heard this passage, Lawrence. Most of us have not heard this passage. If you did read it, you probably read it along with the verses that went before Deacon Davis and the verses that came after. And today I want to lift up a unique, what I believe, idea. And I want to push this thing. You'll notice this morning that the praise team, myself, and others who got up are all wearing the same shirts. Everybody say amen. Our church is preparing to host a conference called the Comeback Conference. We're hosting it as a church because Pastor Ford serves as president for the Ministers Conference for State Convention, 28 churches. And we're going to be hosting a conference called the Comeback Conference. It's coming up in 8 weeks. I've asked all of our church to participate. I'm asking every member of our church online and in person to be present because we're trying to deal with the idea of churches, no Christians, no the body of Christ on a comeback. Everybody okay? Keep that in mind as we move forward, and we're going to ask for your support. Let me whisper one more time. God, thank you for your word. Remove every distraction in us now. Let us allow your word to find good soil in our hearts. Produce much fruit as our prayer. God, would you save? Would you heal? Would you strengthen? Would you deliver? Would you set free? In Christ's name we pray. Everybody, amen. Everybody say the comeback. The 1920s were years of change and adjustment. Our theme for the next few weeks is really the comeback. It is reimagining. It is reigniting. It is all of us now seeking to restore, as it were, the church to our oughtness. That is what God has called it to be. The 1920s was a decade of great change and great adjustment. How many of us remember that great company? Watch this now. It's a great company. It was birthed in the 1920s. And when I tell you it was birthed by, you're going to trip out. But the company's name was Laugh-O-Grams. I said it's called Laugh-O-Grams. And that name, and because you don't remember it, should make you laugh. Laugh-O-Grams is a company started by a man whose name you know, Walt Disney. Walt Disney started Laugh-O-Grams in the 1920s before he ever, Lawrence Crystal, thought about starting Disneyland or Disney World. His first trip, his first foray into business, being the imagineer that he is, not engineer, but the imagineers. You do know that those who work at Disney for that corporation, they're called imagineers because they're called on to use their imagination. Walt Disney, with his imagination, starts a company, Laugh-O-Grams, in the 1920s. Do I need to tell you it went belly up? Do I need to tell you that while he had a good idea, maybe even a great idea, it did not work in the 1920s. It went so bad, in fact, that Walt and his brother, who went into the deal with him, both went bankrupt. They lost everything. People around them, family and friends, and you know how they are. Many of us only have fair weather friends. I need a fair weather friend. I don't need no fair weather friend who will need a friend who will be there to the end. Some of y'all come close and catch me in a moment. Even in stormy weather, through time and time again, I need me a friend. They go bankrupt. They lose everything. They have fair weather friends that are no longer following them on social media or anyplace else because they had an idea, they knew it would work, and it simply did not work because it was the wrong time and the wrong era and the wrong place and the wrong people. Pastor, what's your opening commentary? Don't give up on your dream because it didn't work the first time. In fact, don't give up on your dream if it doesn't work the second time or the third time or the fourth time or the fifth time or the 20th time. Don't give up because our God is in the business, watch this now, of bringing us through because he's the God of the comeback. Y'all got it. He's the one who will bring us through everything we are going through, whether it's good or bad, whether it's right or wrong. God is able to bring you through whatever it is you're dealing with, COVID or catastrophe, whatever it is you're dealing with, holiness or lack of it, or health problems, whatever it is you're dealing with, money or madness in your own mind, whatever it is you're dealing with, God is able to deliver us and to give us another chance. Somebody ought to shout over that. That our God is able, no, he's willing, no, he's ready, no, he's right now giving all of us another chance. You ought to tell your neighbor, you woke up this morning, you got another chance. You got clothes on your back, you have another chance. You have breath in your body, you have another chance. You have blood flowing through your veins, you have another chance. If you're alive, if you're able right now, God has given you another chance. The Comeback Conference, the Comeback Congregation, the Comeback Church. Don't throw in the towel. In light of this, I thought I'd just look at, we just kind of walk through some comebacks in the scripture. Anybody here remember that comeback that, watch this now, is a big comeback in the Old Testament? Anybody remember this case of the comeback? Anybody here remember a murderer by the name of Moses? Anybody here remember Moses? Moses, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, that book that, watch this, EX prefix, always out, Odus, or Odus is the odorous land of Egypt. The Bible tells us the story of how the children of Israel, watch this now, exited, went out of the odorous land of Egypt, and they were led by a man named Moses. Here's the crazy part, is that Moses' life started on the wrong side of the track. Anybody here? If it felt like you were born in the ghetto, no, the ghetto was born in you. Anybody here? Remember good times? Anytime you need a good times. Anytime you feel good times. Anytime you're out from under, not being hassled, not being hustled. Keeping your head above water. Making a way when you can't. Temporary layoff, what do they call it? Good times. Come on. Anybody remember what it's like to be born, no, live on the other side of the track? Let's run through Moses' life real fast. Here is Moses. His mother and his father are slaves. They're living in Egypt. When his mother gets pregnant with him, the Pharaoh in Egypt puts out an edict. He puts out a command. He puts out a law that all of the boy Hebrew children born age 2 and under must be murdered. So he sends soldiers. Sisters, come close. And they're knocking on the door. No, they're kicking the door in of every Hebrew, every Jewish woman who is pregnant, who has given birth. And after they kick the door in, they, with sword in hand, slay, no, kill, no, murder, no, massacre every boy child. Because Pharaoh has a fear that the nation of Israel, these boys, they say in the book of Exodus, were being born, women in who are Israelite, Hebrew women, were giving birth at a rate faster than anybody else. And they were giving birth to more children than anybody else. There's a lesson there. I'm going to leave that there right now, but be careful. And so he puts out this edict to kill all the children. There is a king in town, maybe not in our country, but maybe in your life, who's trying to murder that which God has birthed inside of you. And so they come to every house, and they're murdering all the boy children. The Bible says that Moses' mother hides him, places him in a space where when the soldiers come in, because they know the record, they know what's going on with all the babies being born, when the soldiers come in, they cannot find Moses. How many of us know that God can hide you in plain sight? The baby's in the building. He's in the house. He's in the room. And the Bible says when the soldiers come in, Moses' mother hides him, and he makes no sound while the soldiers are present. And the Bible goes on to say when she could hide him no more, she made him an ark of bulrushes. She made him an ark, what we would call a little boat. And they put him in this ark. And then his older sister takes him to the river. And then they place little Moses, I suppose they called him Mo, in the basket. And it flows into the backyard swimming pool of Pharaoh's daughter. Now hold it. Marked for death. Hold it. Born at the wrong time. Hold it. All these things are against me. Hold it. His mother has to hide him. Hold it. He escapes being murdered as an infant. Hold it. And God does a comeback. He grows up. He's raised because Pharaoh's daughter finds him. He's raised as a prince in Egypt. You all saw the cartoon. If you didn't see it, your children saw the Prince of Egypt. He's raised as a prince in Egypt because, watch this now, God can cause your enemies to become not only your footstool, but the stool that leads you up to a higher level in life. They don't even know. They're feeding and clothing and educating, according to Egyptian law and practice, the one who will eventually become Israel's emancipator. Isn't it crazy how good God is? That God is the God of a comeback. And in the life of Moses, Moses becomes the emancipator. But hold it, on his way to becoming the emancipator, he becomes a murderer. I know y'all want to hear this. Why you don't want to hear, Pastor, I murdered someone. I hear you saying, I ain't never murdered no one with my gun, but we've murdered them with our mouth. We can kill them with our finger strokes. We can hit them on the phone. Just murder, 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 murder. We murder them on Instagram. We murder them on Twitter. We murder them on whatever else is out there. I don't know. Whatever else is out there. We murder with a text. Come on now. Come close. Don't do that to me. He becomes a murderer. The Bible says he sees an Egyptian soldier beating a Hebrew brother. And when he, and watch what the Bible says. The Bible says Moses, he's now the prince of Egypt, looks this way and that. He sees no one there, and he jumps off of his horse. He kills the Egyptian soldier. And then later on, he's another day, he's coming through town, and he's Moses. He's Prince Moses. He's a so-called Egyptian. And then he sees two Hebrews fighting. And he says, brothers, let's not fight. And they say, oh, who you think you are? We know who you are, Moses. We know that you're really a Hebrew, but you're faking the funk on the Egyptian side. And by the way, we saw what you did the other day. Hush and get out of our face before we go and tell Pharaoh. You may get by, but you won't get away. God has an eye that never... He has an ear that never, and this is for all of us. If we're living in this body, if we live in this world, God knows everything. Moses goes from murderer to emancipator because our God is the God of a comeback. I hear you, Pastor. You attacking me. No, I'm just talking about how God can use anybody to do anything at any time, at any place, and anywhere. Okay, you're not following me on Moses. You're not following me on Moses. You're not following me on Moses. Anybody here, ladies, come close. Anybody here remember a sister named Hadassah? You know her better by this name, Esther. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Her book is right before the book of Job, and then Psalms and Proverbs, Esther. Esther is a woman who was born at a bad time. Ladies, come close now. She's a Hebrew. They're in a place where they're suffering. They are again enslaved. Why? What always enslaves all of us is sin. And the Bible says there's a queen who is a woman of integrity. This woman is queen. Her name is Vashti. Everybody say Vashti. Vashti's husband, he gets drunk on one occasion. And he's having a party. You know how it is when the fellas have a party. And they got all the other fellas in the place. And he's the king of all that he surveys. His wife is the baddest woman in the place. In not only his kingdom, but other kingdoms. And he tells her, hey, listen, baby. Yeah, come here. I want you to put on that outfit and dance in front of everybody. And Vashti says, you got the wrong one. If you think I'm going to entertain you and your friends, you got nothing coming. Ladies, integrity matters. Brothers, integrity matters. She's the queen. Now, the law says that if she doesn't do what the king says do, Mother Craig, the law says she can be killed right on the spot. I wonder, do we have anyone willing to die? Or let their reputation die, or let their money go, or let their career collapse for character's sake? She says, I'm not going to do it. You know what happened. Y'all read the story. Esther is banished. He doesn't kill her, but he banishes her. But what God does is God makes way for a comeback. He puts out word, and they're trying to get another queen. You have to remember that in this day, the kings had harems. I say this every time I deal with any passage in Scripture that deals with harems. That's many women, many wives. Brothers, don't try this in the 21st century in these yet to be United States of America. Don't say to your woman, baby, listen, I just want to have a harem. She will probably hit you over the head with a cast iron skillet, and then you'll go see Jesus early. Now, understand this. In this situation, they put out a word for another woman to join the harem. There's a Hebrew girl. Her name is Hadassah. Hadassah is chosen. She's part of that crew, part of that group. They end up picking another queen, and guess who they pick? This woman whose name is changed to Esther. Of God taking a Hebrew girl named Hadassah, whose name is changed to Esther, and causes her to become queen so that he can use her to save the entire nation. Because he's the God of a comeback. The nation is in trouble. God uses men, Moses. No, God uses a woman, Hadassah, to save the entire nation. Y'all know the rest of that story. I'm going to rush through this as fast as I can. The Bible tells us that on one occasion when Esther, she's now enjoying all of the accoutrements that come along with being in the kingdom. And then there comes a place and a space in the kingdom when she has to stand up for right, because the king, watch this now, has an evil employee who wants to kill every Jewish person in the kingdom. This is now the then known largest kingdom on the planet. He's wicked. He's wicked, he's evil, he wants to kill every single one of them. And then Esther listens to her uncle. Her uncle tells her, listen, understand this, that God put you in this position not so that you could wear jewelry, not so that you could wear fine clothes, not so that you can eat succulent food. Understand this, that underneath all of that, you are a Hebrew. You're a child of God. And you need to remember who you are and who got you here. And perhaps God put you in this position. Come on, if you know the verse. For such a time, come on now, as this. Maybe you are where you are right now for such a time as this. Maybe you're on that job right now for such a time as this. Maybe you're in the financial situation you're in right now for such a time as this. Maybe you got the promotion you got for such a time as this. Maybe you got the demotion you got for such a time as this. God uses her, and she goes to the king and says, listen, I need to tell you something. What you need to tell me, baby? I'm a Hebrew. You what now? I'm a Hebrew. My name is Kizzy. My name is Hadassah. And God saves the entire nation because he's the God of a comeback. He can turn a murderer into a leader. He can turn an undercover woman into an outer, uncovered heroine. I know you're not hearing me yet. I'm not coming through. Let me give you an old. He's the God of the comeback. Great comebacks in the Bible. I won't even deal with David. We know what happened with David. We know that he goes from the sweet singer of Israel. We know that he goes from the soldier who kills Goliath. We know that he becomes the king of Israel. We know that the flag of David, the symbol of David is called, the symbol of Israel, the flag of Israel is called the Star of David. We know that Bethlehem is called the City of David. We know that Jesus is called the Son of David because he's in the lineage, the biological lineage of David. We all know about David and his ups, but we also know about David and his downs, David and Bathsheba. Come on, come close. Everybody, if you know that, say amen. I ain't got to go there. You know about David, not only and Bathsheba. We know about David, watch this now, and Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. We know about David and his son, Absalom, who tries to overthrow his father. Anybody here ever been living with a son or a daughter and they disrespect you and they try to take what you got? Why are you still alive? They're not waiting for your death. They're saying, I want mama, daddy, what you got right now, but baby, I'm not dead yet. I want it. And I want it now. That's what happens in Luke 15 with the prodigal son. We know about David. David commits murder. David commits adultery. David disobeys God. And then in Psalm 51, David says, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. My sins are always before me. It is against thee and thee only that I've sinned and done this evil in thy sight. God, forgive me of all I've done wrong. Wash me thoroughly with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white as snow. We know Psalm 51. And the Bible says God turns this murderer, adulteress, David. His life is turned around again. God delivers him from his son who was trying to murder him. When David has left his own kingdom and he's on the run. And God turns his whole life around because he repented. Maybe one of the keys to the comeback is to turn from our wicked ways. I know why you're not shouting. The word repent is the word metanoia. It's where we get our English word metamorphosis. It's allowing God to do something on the inside. Thank you, Lord. That no one else sees. Thank you, Lord. And then you come out different than you were before. Thank you, Lord. So the word, watch this now, is in the New Testament, the word for repent, is that word, it's metanoia. It is where we get our English word metamorphosis. It's what happens to a caterpillar. Come close. When he builds a chrysalis, C-H-R-Y-S-A-L-I-S, we call it a cocoon. And then on the inside, anybody here living in any other state besides Arizona? Betty and I, she's Chicago. I got family in Chicago, Betty. In California, you know, we have seasons. Arizona, we have one season. Hot, hotter, and hottest. We have one season in Arizona. Anybody here remember a caterpillar? If you know what a caterpillar is, just wave your hands in the air. Come on, wave it like you're showing up. Yeah. Caterpillars used to grow. And they would form a cocoon. They're in the cocoon, and then the caterpillar, after so many days, will begin to break out. And when I was a boy, we had a tree next door to the house. Our house was the second house on the corner. We always have to go outside, turn right, make another right to go to Mildred Goss Elementary School in San Jose, California. And this tree had worms and caterpillars, and in the right season, they would just start falling on the ground. Caterpillar forms a chrysalis, a cocoon. And then in due time, the caterpillar breaks out. But the caterpillar is no longer a caterpillar. The caterpillar is a butterfly because something happens on the that no one else can see. And God changes that caterpillar, and he causes that caterpillar to have a comeback. And that comeback is nothing like what the caterpillar used to be. Come close. Anybody here need a comeback that's nothing like what you used to be? Anybody here want to have an internal situation that goes on with you and God behind closed doors? Nobody needs to know what's going on with you and God in your own chrysalis, in your own cocoon. That's you and Jesus Christ. That's your business. And if it's private between you and God in the cocoon, keep it private. When God makes it public with you and you burst out and people say, how'd you change into that? Well, God did it through grace and mercy. Well, God did it through love and hope. Well, God did it by giving me a second chance. I don't deserve it. I really was born a caterpillar, but God made me a butterfly. And so now I have wings and I can fly. I'm no longer crawling. No, I'm soaring. I'm no longer a caterpillar. I am a Butterfly, you're not shouting. And I know you're not shouting. I know why you're not shouting. I'm done now. You're not shouting because some of y'all are still caterpillars. And you need to go on the chrysalis by yourself with God. And when you go on the chrysalis by yourself with God, don't get on the keyboard. Don't do no strokes. Don't get on no social media. It ain't nobody's business what God is doing in you. They'll see it on the outside. And you don't need to get on the phone and testify about it. Just let God do his work. And the devil, watch this now, will still come after you. But Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You ain't got to get likes. Just let God love you in the quietness of your own cocoon, and he'll bring you out. I hear Dinah Ross. I'm coming out. I want the world to know. I got to let it show I'm coming out. Okay, I know why you're not shouting. I'm done now. You're not shouting. It's 9:16. You're not shouting because I was dealing with comebacks. And there's one I forgot. I read to you Mark 14. Did y'all forget that? It's an obscure passage. Here's what's so obscure about it. Jesus Christ in Mark 14 has been arrested. His disciples have all fled. Y'all remember this, right? That he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying all night, and everybody leaves him. You ever been alone? You ever been by yourself, and you were looking for a friend? What's the song? Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I look high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Jesus goes back from praying the first time, and he finds the disciples, Deacon Davis, Chairman Neely, asleep. And he says, man, I asked y'all to pray for me. Can you pray for me just 1 hour? And there's Peter. There's James. There's John. There's Thaddeus. There's all the, they just sleep. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be some moments in your life. You don't believe me, ask Walt Disney. He'll testify from yonder that sometimes you need to try it again. Jesus said, I'm by myself. And then he prays what we read in John 17. We call it the high priestly prayer. Talks to his father. He says, God, I need some help. And one thing Jesus says, Lord, if it's possible, preach Jesus. Let this cup pass from me. What is Jesus saying? I know what's coming. Can we, Father, do it another way? Is there another way we can save them? Is there another way Sherman can get to heaven? Is there another way that we can make it to eternity? And then Jesus closes the prayer like this. Nevertheless, not my will. Preach, Jesus. But thy will be done. Comes back. He wakes them up. Says, fellas, let's go. And as they're walking there at the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says the soldiers come. I'll give you context now for the first verse I started with. And the Bible says they arrest Jesus. I mean, they arrest him. Y'all remember what happened? Y'all remember Peter takes out his knife? Everybody need a Peter in your group. Everybody need a Peter. Everybody need somebody with a knife. We need a knife. We need somebody with a knife, Crystal. We need somebody with a knife, Lawrence. That's willing to cut somebody's ear off. I'm being silly right now, but we do need a knife holder. We don't need a knife wielder. Y'all remember here, here's the verse. The Bible says, and all of his disciples left him. You ever felt like you were alone? After a night of prayer all night, and the Bible says, and the devil is agonizing Jesus. He's agitating Jesus. He's left alone. Somebody said Jesus never stressed. The Bible says, oh, Kevin, I'm going to walk down, that he was so stressed until sweat, first Sunday, like drops of blood, came out. Let me give you the interpretation of that in the original language. It means that he was so stressed that his blood vessels in his head burst and blood came out. That's the literal translation. It's sweat, but it's, have you ever had a vessel in your eye burst or a vessel burst? Your pressure can get so high that it will cause blood to come out. I want you to see him alone. I want you to see him sweating. I want you to see him praying all night. I want you to see him now walking through the garden. I want you to see now the soldiers come. I'm almost at verse 51, chapter 14, Mark. And they arrest Jesus. Peter does his thing. Jesus, so gracious, exhausted, sweating, says to Peter, Peter, don't do that. He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. He bends down and picks up the soldier's ear, puts it back on his head, said, now, Peter, that's the way you do it. And then they arrest him. How many of us have that strength? The one who's coming to beat you and whip you and murder you and crucify you, you heal him? The Bible says this, that Jesus does that. And then after all that happens, there's this young boy in Mark 14, 51. Remember, all the disciples leave. Scholars debate whether this is John Mark talking about himself, because he doesn't name the person. That's up to debate, but here's what I want you to see. This boy, this man, has on a linen ephod. E-P-H-O-D. All of the world is in Jerusalem for the celebration that's going on. A linen ephod would be like unto you and I wearing our long johns. I lost them, Mother Craig, on long johns. They don't know what long johns are. Your PJs, your pajamas, your undergarment. I almost said BBD, and I thought about Belle Biv DeVoe. I really meant the grapes, you know, the underoos, the fruit of the loom. Jesus is here. He's being taken. They're beating him as they walk him out. There's a boy or a man who's followed along the way. The Bible says everyone else has abandoned him. When they see the boy, he's in his undergarments because very likely he heard about what happened. He runs to the scene, doesn't bother getting dressed. Everybody okay? He sees Jesus. And then they take him. And when the Bible says he runs out of his clothes naked, here's the scene. It's the same scene that happens with Joey. That's Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50, which we're studying every Wednesday at noon out in the cave, right? And the Bible says when Joey runs out of his clothes, they grab him. They grab him, right? And he runs out of his clothes the way I ran out of my coat. I didn't run out, but you know what I'm saying. Y'all see the boy? He's now running naked. I haven't made the connection yet, Sherman. That's why they're not shot. Jesus is crucified and buried in a linen cloth. Speculation is that they got the burial garment for Jesus from this unknown man in Mark 15. He ran out of his clothes, and they put those same clothes on Jesus. It's too much. I don't have enough time to do it. Is too much. That which you need covering for, Jesus has given to you and I. When we could not cover ourselves with what we have, if we turn it over to him, he'll give it back to us and cover, watch this, all of our sins. I thought I didn't get a chance to explain. I thought that was really gonna get it. I know what it is, Rudy. I covered several comebacks, but I forgot to tell you about the best comeback. It happened in the garden. Deacon David said it on a hill. Far away. I know, I guess I like, boy, this man be preaching way too long. Instead of an old rugged cross, and they hung him, they stretched him, they dropped him low. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, and Jesus died. And then early Sunday morning, he got up because he's the God of the comeback with all power in his hands. I'm done. No. He's coming back. I'm done. Let's stand together.